All right.
All right.
Well, if you're on the call, this is Marjorie Wildcraft, and we got Super J, who is the Grow Network Director of Technical Operations. I think we got Ruth on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth is in charge of cracking the whip.
That's her job.
Yeah, and so we just thought we'd have this call with community members and just have a chance to check in with people, and I thought I'd riff for a few minutes on what I'm seeing and maybe some bigger picture items. Yeah, and then I'd just love to hear other people's thoughts. I have to say I'm a fan of conspiracy theories, okay? It's kind of like...
Raise his hand. Me too.
Yeah, right? It's sort of just like, you know, it's like reading Pulp Fiction, you know, or something like that. You know, it's not that you take any of it seriously, but, you know, sometimes you do. But you know what I mean? It's not, we don't know anything, basically, right? There's nobody been giving Marjorie Wildcraft any secrets. But I will say that one thing that really has astonished me was the swiftness of this, of how it came on and how quickly everybody, we just like all of our civil liberties gone. Like in Puerto Rico, I'm in Puerto Rico, and we have been in lockdown for almost a month now with all the businesses shut and the thing that most people are experiencing now, no restaurants and, you know, only quote unquote essential businesses, which is the grocery store and the gas store and the bank and the post office are open and, curfews, helicopters flying over at night, checking that and police, you know, really, and we really just turned in, like, they haven't declared martial law or a police state, but that's what's happened and, you know, masks. And we've had a really lively discussion in the forums. From my perspective, and I will still assert this, and that's totally up for, you know, discussion. If you have a different opinion, I'm good with that. But this is a completely manufactured event. The COVID-19, while it is highly infectious, it really doesn't have much of a fatality rate. Some perspective on that. We have 7.8 billion people on the planet, and about 1.5 million people die every day just because when you have 7.8 billion, you know, that's kind of like one of the things we do. We live, we get born, we die, right? So there's a certain amount that die. And so for the World Health Organization to have declared a pandemic on March 11th with only like 3,000 deaths or something is, you know, actually the way it first came out and the coordinated affront by the news media, it just smacked of something that's very, very organized. Now, you know, it doesn't matter really whether it is or it isn't, because here we are, and this is the situation we're in. You know, some of the other real questions are, what are going to be the consequences of this? And I still hear a lot of people going, I was just talking to a neighbor. She was going, yeah, well, you know, when this is over, I'm going to continue fixing up my house and Airbnb-ing it out, and I'll be traveling back and forth. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to be doing that. We're you know, right now, what do we have, 20 or 30 million Americans that have a filed for unemployment, and we're not done yet. So we're going to be looking at an unemployment rate of 35-40%. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. This is worse than the Great Depression. And there'll be lots and lots of businesses that are shuttered that are never coming back. And that's everything from the mom and pop all the way up to a lot of airlines are going to close. They just can't handle, you know, the whole thing. I just saw, Airbnb is in serious trouble. They're looking for money funding, and they're willing to pay like 10% interest, which is considered pretty high in this day and age. A lot of companies are folding. Yelp. Yelp just laid off 2,000 people. They fired 1,000 and put 1,200 on furlough, whatever that means, right? So we're looking at some really, really, really changing times. That's the downside of it. And then, of course, I don't know how many of you saw the interview that I did with Dr. Kai-Fu Lee. It's quite a lucky thing that I got to do that interview with him to ask for, on behalf of our community, a lot of questions. He's an expert in artificial intelligence. He's also I gotta figure out how to make that printer stop that. But, talk about AI, that printer. it's in my house. He was saying, you know, one thing that's just, you know, I was talking to him about the divide of the wealth getting wealthier and the poor getting poorer. And he said, yeah, that is just going to continue to increase going into the future. And this COVID-19 has certainly accelerated that program tremendously. We are now going to have a huge amount of very, very poor people. And then people that are rich and wealthy are financially anyway are going to be even in stronger positions. And then AI, which we're, you know, one of the things, if you read all the reports, are, you know, they're using your cell phone movements and they're studying that to correlate that with outbreaks of the COVID-19. And that will be a much greater tool that's used in the future for future pandemics, future plandemics. It's also, you know, just another greater level of control.
Marjorie, we've got somebody with their hand raised. You want me to go ahead and unmute Shash?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, Shash. Is that my name correctly?
Shash.
Shash?
Yeah. Shash.
How are you?
Hi, Shash.
I'm in Ecuador, part of the global family. And my concern is that I thought that this was going to be light and fun, and here you are talking about horrors. Now, I don't believe, as you do, or that the way your expert does. I believe that there are light forces at work. I believe that this is a time for us to go inside to find our truth, find who we really are.
Well, thank you, Shash. You know, I actually really hadn't finished with where I was going with that. So,
if it continues in the negative and the heavy energy, then I'll have my lunch alone.
Well, you know, I totally get that. But the other thing is to be very real about what's going on. I mean, that is going on. That's one aspect of it. But I also was about to start shifting into what I really see the positives of. And so what we're seeing is a transition of power on the planet, and normally when such a transition happens, there's massive warfare, so this is at least happening without warfare. And I actually think, you know, for many, many years, actually most of my life, we've talked about the feminine reasserting herself, the feminine energetics reasserting herself on the planet. And of course she would not come in with warfare. When she comes in, she would have everybody being at home, going inward, jettisoning things that really weren't in alignment with your heart in the first place, and really getting clear about what's really important to you, like your family and your relationships and your loved ones. I think, you know, certainly one thing that this has done has really helped help people to realize how important those relationships are. I've just seen a tremendous amount of reaching out and saying, what can I do to help, or how can we change? I don't know how many people I've talked to and said, you know, I really didn't like my job anyway, so I'm kind of glad I got fired. Now I'm going to go find out and go do what it is that I really want to do. And the other really big thing about this, and I'm not necessarily advocating more and more, you know, a huge disparity in power on the planet, but quite frankly, the course we were on was hugely, hugely, hugely destructive. You know, our oceans, our rivers, our soils, and that actually is the purpose and the mission of the Grow Network, is to stop the destruction of the earth via homegrown food. And I don't know who or what is coordinating this, but one of the obvious beneficiaries of it is the earth itself. So I don't know how many of y'all have seen some of the images of like air pollution in major cities. You know, like you can actually see across the city, or the pollution counts, or yeah. So, you know, if this is being organized to actually stop it, because we weren't going to stop it on our own, so if this is being coordinated to do that, because we certainly were on a collision course with something horrible, and so well, this is incredibly, incredibly painful on an economic front. You know, really, we're not seeing a lot of significant death, right? At least people are alive, and there's a lot of things that we can do, and that's what the Grow Network is all about. You know, you don't need a military, industrial, governmental complex to provide your own food. or to provide your own medicine. And real wealth is not necessarily about money. It's about health and family and community and doing meaningful work and living a life of purpose. And all of those things you can do in your backyard. That's really what we've been talking about for years. So I know there's this bigger backdrop, and I know there's a lot of conversation about that, and looking at it through that lens does not look really good, but I see a very, very positive future through this, especially for our children, our grandchildren, and the entire planet. And you know, so many people, I'm like, wow, you know, haven't you ever wanted to be an herbalist? You know, we're going to need a lot more. The medical system, we all know, is completely corrupt, right? I know this. A lot of the Grow Network, probably half of them are nurses, right? You guys know more than any of us. I've had so many conversations with you about how unbelievably corrupt and dysfunctional that is. And, you know, we need herbalists, and we need healers that are really healers. And plant medicines are great medicines to work with. And your own love is probably the most important medicine to work with. You know, we need people to grow those medicines. We need people to make those medicines.
Marjorie, I'm gonna unmute Dina. She's got her hand up.
Okay, great. Dina, jump in here.
Hello. Yeah, we use herbal medicine for most of the things in our house. We don't take pharmaceuticals. We eat unprocessed food. But one thing that worries us a lot is that they might come up with a vaccine for this virus, and they might force everyone to have it. I am not very happy with that, because some vaccines are genetically modified, and you don't know what's going to do to your genome. Nobody knows. And some have aluminium, formaldehyde, thimerosal, different ingredients that I am not very happy with either. I wouldn't like to be forced to take a vaccine that's aluminium.
I hear you, Dina. I hear you. And, you know, I actually never vaccinated my kids. That was a choice I also made. And I hear that. But as of yet, I have not, you know, there hasn't been any. I mean, I know that there's that conversation out there, but that hasn't happened yet. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about, there's a lot of fear on the planet now. You know, there's and a lot of misguided fear. So, you know, if that comes to be and they start to make it mandatory, well, then that is exactly something we will have to figure out a way around, or a resistance against. But until it actually becomes a thing, other than, you know, somebody talking about it on the internet, I don't think we need to, you know, go into reactivity and fear on it yet. And, you know, really the brighter and more upbeat you are in general, that, you know, your immune system is helped so much better by laughter and by joy than it is by fear you know, and worry. So I hear you. And, you know, it certainly does look like a pandemic would be a great opportunity to try and force vaccinate people. That's definitely a possible reality. But until that really actually starts to manifest, let's not worry about it as much. You know, definitely be, as I was talking about in the very beginning of this call, let's be aware of all the things that are going on, and let's not be in denial of them.
Another thing that worries me is how long the lockdown is going to last, because I have my daughter in Cambridge and my husband in London, and now I was visiting my daughter. I was with her when the lockdown started, so we were separated from daddy, and he cannot travel here and we cannot travel there, and we were hoping that it would be lifted. They say originally 3 weeks, so we're fine, in 3 weeks you come here or we go there. And now they are going to continue for another month. So they separated the family like that, you see?
Oh, I think they're going to continue to extend it as long as they see necessary. I think they want to avoid giving a large number of weeks or months so as not to instill panic in people and do it like a chunk at a time.
But it's very difficult, because in our case, we cannot travel to London, and my husband cannot travel here. And how long can we live like this?
Right, it's terrible for a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also, you know, my family were immigrants to the United States. My father, and he left Germany actually just prior to World War I. And they knew that they were never going to go back. And they knew that they were leaving family, you know, and that happens. And fortunately, we have telecommunications and we have, you know, postal service. We have lots of ways that we can all still stay in touch with each other. And yes, there are terrible things, and eventually you will get back together. And it is hard, but you know, you're healthy and alive and you can Zoom and you can Skype and, you know, your bond with him is supersedes everything. You know, you go through the universe. You know, your love and your connection is a universal bond that even transcends death. So I hear you. You know, I mean, my kids are in Texas and I'm stuck in Puerto Rico.
You cannot be physical. It never happened before. It never happened before that the whole world was locked down like that. It's something unprecedented, and you wonder what is all this going to lead.
Well, you know what? I will disagree with you. I would say it's only been until the last half a century that the whole world could move around. I would say before that, the whole world all pretty much stayed in the same place because there weren't airplanes and trains and cars and things like that. You know, everybody pretty much stayed where they were. You know, traveling wasn't as you know, as common as it is now. So and quite, you know, quite frankly, well, 10% of the global GDP it was tourism and travel, which is wonderful. I mean, travel is wonderful. I don't and it's a good thing, especially for young people to get different perspectives. But it's also very costly for the planet with the, you know, for the fossil fuels and the energy and that sort of thing. I mean, really, basically, we need to go to a much simpler life. I've been saying for years we need to grow more food to take the load off of commercial agriculture. Commercial agriculture is the biggest destructive force on the planet. So
sometimes we seem to like to have a small holding and start fresh, but we haven't done it yet.
Yeah. There's so much to be grateful for, and your family and your connections. And I personally, I'm just so grateful that we can source things directly from the earth. And there still is a tremendous, you know, love and joy is still something that is always available to us 24/7.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute Ella. Dina, thank you. I'm going to mute you for a little bit and give Ella a chance.
That's okay. Thank you.
Thank you for talking to us. Hi, Ella.
Hello.
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 Hi, how are you?
Fine. I'm linking into this Grow Network lunch call, and I'm having difficulty.
Oh, it kind of sounds like you're having network issues. Your voice sounds a little bit robotic, and that usually means there's an issue with your internet service or your cell phone service if you're calling in on a phone.
I'm calling on my computer.
Do you have the option to call on a cell phone? You might get a better service and a connection.
Oh, you think so? So I can't correct this, in other words, on my computer.
It just kind of depends what the issue is, but a quick fix might be trying to call in on your phone.
On a cell phone. I also have an IP phone, and voice over IP. Would that work better?
Well, if it's using the same connection that your computer is, you might have the same issues.
I'm calling. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm calling from Ecuador on a voice over IP phone, and I hear you perfectly, and I think you hear me well, right?
Yes, Sash, I hear you very well.
Sash, you're coming in perfectly.
Yeah, it's a voice over IP, so if you have that, why don't you give that a shot?
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you for answering. I tried calling in yesterday, and I couldn't. All right.
That was me. My bad.
Sasha, you're coming in really strong.
Thanks. And I am very strong in my beliefs that that we really need to focus on the positive and what we would like to have this world be like.
Oh,
and there's
absolutely
so much work going on that we're not aware of, that's of the white hats, you know, to make it simple. And and I love my garden.
Tell us a little bit about that, Ella. Is that Ella I'm talking to?
Sash.
Tell us a little bit. I've heard a little bit about the white hats. Now this is. Could you just give us like the paragraph of what's going on there? I've heard that some of this story. I'm not following it very closely, but I've heard some of it.
Well, what I have seen videos of, and of course they take things down very quickly, but there are huge underground tunnels that have been used for enslaving children and the
mm-hmm.
pedophiles and all of that. I get goosebumps just
thinking
about
heard
it.
I've heard this too, the Andropromia.
And the white hats are going after them, and the makeshift hospital in Central Park, New York, is accessing those children and dealing with and taking those children. It's not for the virus. It's for these children, who some of whom have never seen light in their lives. And so that, I mean, there's great hope. And like Tom Hanks, he doesn't really have the virus. And a lot of the people in Hollywood, they are self-isolating. That's like a catchphrase that they're being taken down by the White Hats. Now, the way I see this is there is so much information, misinformation, so much we probably will never know, that we have the option of believing that which we choose. And I choose to believe that the white hats, that the power of good, that everybody or as many people as we can reach going into our hearts and raising our vibrations, playing in the dirt, growing our own food, sharing our food. This is raising the vibration on our planet, which will augment the power that's available. So for the white hats, I mean, we don't know how it works. I mean, I don't know how it works. I know, because I choose to believe that in my heart is the power of the creative force. And how do I get there? I have to keep attempting. I have to keep going inside. I have to keep praying. I have to keep asking that, if at all possible, please let this new world be one in which we would prefer to live within.
Well, I think I completely agree with you on that. I don't know who this new power is, but clearly the old system was unbelievably corrupt. And you know, I've heard stories of the pedagogy and the child molestation and the adrenochrome or something like that. That you know,
Adrenochrome,
yeah, and I mm-hmm. I don't have any idea if that's true or not, but I do know that the old power system, I mean, you know, look at what it spawned. It spawned the USDA and the FDA and the FEC, you know, like all these in the United States, and I apologize to our international members. I know you guys can relate, but it was a completely and utterly corrupt system, and what we're seeing now is an incredible power shift on the planet to a new ruling entity, and I've heard of the white hats, and I think that this is an incredible time to be home in these shutdowns. I mean, at a personal level, there's not much that I can do about it. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to take this as an opportunity to just do exactly what you're talking about, of meditating and praying and getting very clear about what it is that I want to create in the world and what kind of a world I want to see. And what are things going to be? You know, I think there was a study done a little while ago that 70% of people were completely dissatisfied at work. You know, so this massive unemployment, I bet it's a bunch of people that didn't really want to work at those jobs anyway. Now, that's kind of harsh because everybody still wants to work and make money, but this is a real good chance and a great opportunity to shift into something that, you know, your heart is really much more in alignment with. And as I was riffing on before, there's just incredible opportunities as the medical system and the food system and everything crumbles around us for alternatives. You know, small farming, there's never been a better time to small farm. I've known small farmers, you know, for years, and most of them just struggled. And now, like, they're not having a problem selling, you know, chickens or lambs or vegetables. You know, they're suddenly becoming, you know, really revered and respected in the community as they should have been for all these decades. And so, you know, we need more of that. And there's a lot of land and a lot of opportunity to do that. We need, you know, more, small cottage industries processing those foods, you know, the fresh fruits and vegetables and canning them or fermenting them and redistributing them or seed saving. You know, I've done tons of interviews like, with Jared Gettle over at, Baker Creek Seeds on, there's a lot of opportunity just to, become, you know, create seeds and sell seeds. There's actually so much more than, you know, if you're a bigger minded business person or a regional seed company or regional food distributor or food distribution. Really, I mean, we have, those are the two big industries that I'm most familiar with that really are, they've been imploding for the longest time. That's part of the reason why the Grow Networks exist. And in that, there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity to come up with a new livelihood and reinvent yourself. So
I think it's very hopeful. Let's get a few more on there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute Lee.
Oh, Lee.
Thank you so much, Sash. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I got a problem with my computer, so I'm using my phone. And the combination.
Are you on speakerphone, Lee? You're causing an echo.
Just a minute. Let me turn off the is that any better? Straight to the phone.
That was cool to echo.
Lee's like, you know, have you ever been in a place with two mirrors that are like directly opposite each other, and then there's like 1,000 of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what that was like.
We've got 1,000 Lee's.
There's 1,000 Lee's. Oh, my God.
I went straight to the phone. Is that any better?
No, sir.
Nope. No better.
Hey, Lee has a Westie, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's got the cutest little dog, though.
Oh, yeah. I love a Westie, Lee.
Bye. I'm going to disconnect from your and just go to the phone.
Okay. That'll work.
Ella, I see that your hand's up. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you while Lee gets his phone situated. How are you?
Hi. I'm just fine. I'm a newbie. I just gone through the four videos of Marjorie of making your own medicine. And
oh,
some
that's wonderful.
Very good.
So... I'm actually interested, but I'm a Christian Scientist, so I don't use medicine of any kind, and I have not taken pharmaceutical drugs since 1982 or 3, something around there. But, you know, at the same time, we have family members that quite haven't got the hang of a deep sense of praying, a scientific kind of praying, where you focus on the good of God, and that it has to annihilate the evil or the bad, that there is two sides to God, the good and the evil is only one. And, you know, the synonyms they go through are just, they're quite generic, like principle, you know, so key one, and love and all that. And the previous speaker spoke about the vibrations and stuff like that. Well, I guess if you're praying, you're thinking and your thought level is at different vibrations. You could say it that way from a physics point of view. But I'm still interested in all the tinctures and salves that are natural, mainly because members of our family, there's straddling, and I don't trust the medical.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. I believe that there are many states of consciousness that can be achieved where you don't need medicines. I personally am trying to achieve the state of consciousness where I can eat chocolate chip cookies and not gain weight. And I believe that's possible. I haven't personally gotten there yet.
Marjorie.
But, yeah. No,
for sure.
There really is. I really believe that there are.
I do too. You know, I think your mindset, if you think you're eating something that's bad for you, it's going to be bad for you.
That's right. Yeah. And there are, I think part of the reason I'm so healthy is I have always believed and I've grown my own food and it's the highest quality food and that I'm nourishing my body deeply. So that's my belief system. So that's what's happening. And I do believe that there's other mindsets where it doesn't have to necessarily be based on, in a way, it's using really good quality food as a quote-unquote crutch, right? Like, I do believe that there are states of consciousness where you could eat anything. You could eat McDonald's and still be healthy because your body's just trying to assimilate, you know, it just needs some basic nutrients. And it can create, your liver is just an astonishing organ for creating all kinds of stuff. So, but I don't have those states of consciousness. Here's one personal thing is I met a man in Mexico who was a healer, and he had spent many, many years in India studying with a guru. And he said his guru had gone on a 5-year fast. Like he just didn't eat for 5 years. And as a consequence of that, all his teeth fell out, which kind of makes sense. If you know, your body's like, if you're not eating, we don't need these things. So, and then when he decided to eat again, he regrew all his teeth back. And, you know, it does sound like a wild tale, right? And I get it. But this guy was really, really genuine. And he was clearly somebody who was very, very, at a very high spiritual level. And I, you know, maybe I am a little bit gullible, but I did believe him. And I do believe that those kind of things are possible. And I think that you're right that there is tremendous, we have tremendous latent power that we have not really learned to use or connect. And I've never really dipped into the Christian Science teaching. But that's an interesting resource that may delve into sometime.
It sounds like Ella would be interested in our seed blessing experiment. And
what kind of experiment?
Seed blessing. We use our community to bless seeds to see if the which tray would grow better based on love and intention sent to it. It sounds like something you would be into.
Yeah, we're going to resurrect those, and that was using the power of intention to create higher germinating seeds and better plants. I think pretty much everybody in the community knows that's true, right? I mean, really. Like, we're all always in communication with our plants and our animals, and we know they do better when we send them love. And we were just looking for a way to really quantify that. And we did a couple of experiments, and then we, you know, setting up a scientific experiment actually
it's hard.
Is a little harder than you might think, right? Because we did several versions of it, and we found out, well, maybe that we didn't have that as much under control as we thought we did. So, and I've been trying to partner with a university. And I basically have gotten laughed out of I don't know how many university departments. But
Ella, I'm sorry, I've gone ahead and muted you because there was an echo going on your end.
Jim, I want to give a Yeah, I want to give a couple of shout outs. Like, we got Tammy from Virginia and ML from Oregon and Jacqueline from Wichita, Washington, and Marilyn from Longwood, Florida. And we have Anonymous. We have quite a few Anonymous here. Anonymous has many split personalities, apparently.
We understand.
Got it. And
Joanne, I've unmuted you.
Yeah.
You had your hand raised.
I'm sorry, did you say Joanne?
I did. Yep. You're on with us.
Oh, hi. Hi, everybody.
Joanne from Boston.
Yeah, actually, we're just inland from Boston. We're just a little south, southwest. It probably doesn't matter. Yeah, and I've been doing this for the last couple of years because I was raised on a glacier lake, on a remote area of a glacier lake in Western Canada. And my mother had been a nurse and didn't believe in all of the, all the medicines and stuff that they prescribed in that area. And she taught me and my siblings all about, surviving in the wilderness. And because we were the only house, our house, you had to get anywhere. You had to take the boat on this big, huge glacier lake. And then you had to get a ferry. And then you had to take, you know, go on the ferry across. And then the town was about an hour's drive. So, you know, she taught us how to do everything to sustain ourselves in the wilderness. And we lived in a log house. It's still there. And, I knew all about, harvesting, you know, wild, things and what to use them for and what things to eat for what reasons. And then 4.5 years ago, I had a serious bicycle accident I had a lot of broken bones and a lot of titanium implants to fix all my spine and my crushed face and my arm and my clavicle. But the worst part was the traumatic brain injury. And I'm very lucky because I now remember who my husband is and who my children are, but I lost a lot of almost all of what my mother taught me. So I've been on this desperate mission to relearn everything. And so I found you, Marjorie, and a couple other people on the internet. And oh my gosh, I just cry every time I see some information that my brain goes poof and then bango. It starts to remember little bits.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
wow.
You people have really, and I just want to tell you that the doctors, they all called me their miracle patient because they didn't think I'd survive. And, I, because of all of the injuries and how severe the brain injury was, but I really believe it was because of how I'd always eaten before and the fact that I'd never had all these nasty chemicals in my body from, you know, pharmaceuticals. So, I'm really grateful. Oh, and my mother, if she was still alive, she would be so thrilled to know that people are continuing on this ancient medicine and knowledge that has always been with us. God gave us everything right here on this planet.
It's the people's medicine. Oh my gosh, you know, Joanne, there's a book called My Stroke of Genius, and it's about this. She was a brain scientist, PhD in studying the brain, and then she had a stroke.
Oh, and boy.
And she lost everything, like everything. Her mom had, you know, after doing all the hospital stuff, her mom helped, you know, like had to teach her how to tie her shoes and walk. And, you know, she had to, and she said, and it took her a while, but she was able to again, and she lost all her education, but it took her some time, but she was able to reaccess all of that in her brain. So,
yeah,
I believe it's there. Just keep working to wake it up.
Oh, yeah. I had a brain like a baby for 2 years. I didn't know how to do anything. And speaking was not easy for me. And my husband brought me to a clinic out in Provo, Utah It's called Cognitive FX. And in Provo, in 1 week, I was able to walk. I was able to leave the wheelchair behind, and I could talk, and I could spin, and I could see again. Now, I still don't see. I'm very lucky. I get to see two of my husband and two of my kids, and you know, there's a lot of blessings that came out of the accident. I'm a silver lining person. There's always a silver lining. But thank you for that book. I've read when I learned how to read again. Actually, I didn't relearn. My brain accessed the memories again. I've read quite a few different books on other people, because although I consider myself I'm pretty much there. I can't drive and I still walk like I'm really drunk, but that's okay.
I love your attitude. You are so inspiring. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, you know, you have two ways of looking at anything in life. And
absolutely.
And one way gets you forward and the other one, you know, you sink into quicksand. So,
Judson, I'm going to unmute you. You've got your hand up. How are you?
Hey. Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you? You're from North Carolina?
Well, you know, I was thinking, Joanne just said about how she thinks the way that she had eaten before her accident may have really helped. And I'm a big believer in that. You know, I've been reading the Weston A. Price cookbook recently, and it's bringing up a lot of memories of the way my family always lived. You know, my great-grandparents were all farmers here in the North Carolina, South Carolina. You know, my great-grandparents passed away at 94 or 96, I think about 102. The one that lived that long, he got married again when he was 80 to a woman who was in her 40s. They had another son.
Oh, my God.
not only just
the neighbors were talking.
What's that?
The neighbors were talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a little controversial right there, you know, especially since it broke up a family farm that had been around for about 300 years. And then the people that took over the old house burned it down. So, you know, that's still a little controversy in my family. But
wow, way to go, Grandpa. 80 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's what I need to be. I need to be an 80-year-old. What is that, a cougar? Is that when you're a cougar? Is that what that is? That's what I need to strive for. I think so.
A landed widower right there. But a wide variety of natural foods, I really do believe, is the key to a long, healthy life. Whether it's herbs, whether it's what you grow, whether it's what you hunt or fish for, I think the more variety we eat, the more nutrients we get. And I don't believe most of those have even been discovered by nutritional science yet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I have, most of our ancestral paths that, you know, you go back more than civilization, you know, it's estimated they were eating like at least 2,000 different sources of foods in a typical year. Yeah. Yeah, and the average American is down to 12.
I mean, people think I'm crazy when, you know, I talked with you before about how I raise snails. And if it moves and it's not poisonous, then it's probably edible, and it's going to be a lot better for you than anything you can buy in the store.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here in Puerto Rico, and they got these big iguanas. And I'm like, man, that looks like some good eating right there.
Yeah, people in Florida, some friends I've had, they say that's really good. But then again, they also eat armadillos, and I think half of the doctors in the country would tell you they give you the plague, but if they did, I think half of the people in Texas and Florida would pass away by now.
I got a funny story about armadillos. So one time the dogs are barking, and I head over, and we lived in a place with a lot of sand, and there was this armadillo digging in underneath a big concrete culvert, and I grabbed the armadillo tail, right? And I thought, oh, this is cool. And I mean, I was pulling and pulling and pulling on that armadillo, and there was no way I was getting in. The dogs are barking and the kids are screaming and everything's going on. I was going to pull that armadillo out, right? There's no way you are going to pull an armadillo out of the hole once it's getting in there. And so I was telling a neighbor of mine, Bill, who he was in his 70s, And I said, Bill, I just couldn't get that armadillo out of that hole. I mean, I was 10 times bigger than that armadillo, at least, you know, make more, right? You know, what can those things weigh? A couple of pounds, you know? And he said, yeah, no, you're never going to get it out. He said, but I'll tell you what you do the next time you're in that situation. You got a hold of that armadillo's tail, you get you a stick, and you put it in its butt. It'll let go real fast.
I imagine that'd be effective.
Annie, I've unmuted you. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm calling from, well, I actually am from Bucks County, PA. And I just heard someone mention that they're either in Puerto Rico or were in Puerto Rico.
That's Marjorie.
That's me.
Hi,
yeah.
Marjorie. Yes, I am from Puerto Rico, actually. I was raised there and raised with my grandmother, who was an herbalist. And she worked with actually some other people that were curanderas, called healers. And with some Iguadoras, and they it was a beautiful, magical time growing up that way and learning all about herbs and using herbs and even trees as medicine. And I think that we're going back to basics, learning from this experience that we're having today, what we're going through, right? And it's interesting the way herbs are used in the island and how they, I'm learning how to make medicine here in the U.S. with herbs as well. And it's a beautiful thing, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, continuing this, because a couple of years ago a year ago I met an herbalist in Bucks County, and she was able to help me become healthy. I was very unhealthy. I had a lot of illnesses that were starting to spark up, and they were not very good for me. And she put me at a place where I had everybody in my house was sick with the flu, and I didn't even get it. And normally I used to get bronchitis and pneumonia at least once or twice a year. And I can say that after I've been using herbs on a daily basis and using the medicine, I am very happy with my health, and that's what encouraged me or moved me to learn more about the community, the herbalism community, and these beautiful people that work with herbs and make beautiful medicine for.
Annie, what are a few of your favorite herbs?
Well, right now, excuse me, I'm sorry about that. That's my dog.
I just wanted to say hello to everyone.
Yeah, we're all here in the house. We have two dogs, and I have my three grandchildren and my daughter, so we're all together, and my husband. But, you know, we're just making the best, and actually, we have gotten even closer than we were ever before, which is a blessing.
Yeah.
My favorite herbs, I love using mullein, and it's because I've had a lot of respiratory issues. And mullein has been my favorite. My herbalists have combined a lot of different herbs with that to help me heal. I almost had one of my lungs collapse, and it was very, very unhealthy. I couldn't breathe really well. I can say that after a year of using these herbs and working with mullein and working with marshmallow, and I don't know a lot about the herbs yet. I know more about the herbs from Puerto Rico than I know from here, because I grew up in that community of women.
How are you using the mullein? Is that tincture or smoke or what?
No, I'm actually using it as a tincture. And what Sharon, my herbalist, she has she combines other different herbs and makes the tincture. And she actually did something really neat. She had me taste certain mixes that she was making, and my body would actually either like it or not like it. It was almost like I would get goosebumps and say, oh, yeah, I really liked it. But the energy of my body was not working with it, and I'm saying, no, it just doesn't feel right. And she got this right mix for me that I take every day.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, actually, one of the reasons that I'm here in Puerto Rico is we're looking to develop a line of very high quality herbs. It came to my attention that the United States imports like 80% of its herbs, and then those herbs that are imported are irradiated and fumigated. And so I'm working in both Colorado and in Puerto Rico, because you want two different bioregions at least, to grow a lot of really high quality, clean medicinal herbs. And so I'm in the western side in near Rincon to work with local farmers here, and then also possibly set up our own farm to grow medicinal herbs. And we're starting to connect in with the local herbalist community, and you're right, there's just a tremendous amount of wisdom. I'm going to have to figure out how to get in touch with you, Annie, to see if we can make some connections.
I think that would be wonderful. Actually, I'm in the process of, I was going to be starting to, I started writing a book, and I had a couple of herbalists that were working with me on this, and I don't know if you guys have heard of Rocío Alarcón. She's from Ecuador.
No.
Oh, she's very amazing. She has actually hundreds of acres in the Amazon in Ecuador, and I'm working with her right now, where she grows probably the most scientifically proven best cacao in the world.
Oh, my God.
And she
now you're talking.
Yes. And then she has three different types. There's going to be a scientific report that's coming out. She had a couple of scientists come in, and they found three or four different species of new trees and plants. She's putting out this beautiful project of the different hummingbirds that are over there. She's a shaman. She has a PhD in, I think, and I'm correct me if I say it wrong, at botany, or at, is that the right way to say it?
You're going in and out a little bit, but I bet you're trying to say ethnobotanist.
Ethnobotanist, yes.
Yeah.
And so she
what is her name, Annie? Well, how do you spell
it? Rocío Alarcón.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
R-O-C-I-O. And okay. Alarcón is A-L-A-R-C-O-N. And I'm working, I actually was just, we're doing it's a nonprofit organization that's in London, but they do the work. We do the work in Ecuador. And we work with the natives there that don't even speak the language. They have their own dialect that they speak. I'm supposed to be going in this year, but I guess I'm not doing the travel this year. So next year I am. And I'm getting a group together here from the U.S., possibly from Bucks County, if we can, so that we can go over there. We're working towards having also like an umbrella here in the U.S., also working with that and with her on doing that, so we can have workshops here. She's coming with me to Puerto Rico to do all the different types of things that I don't know how to do with what her degree, which the degree that she has, so that we can put that in the book as well. I think it's very interesting. I've connected with a lot of beautiful people. I think of empowering ourselves and working together and helping each other and moving forward would be really good. Always in a positive note. Be humble, because you know what? This is a time we should always be humble to help each other out and support each other in whatever we can. I've noticed a lot of things that I did in the past that were not very healthy for people. That, especially women, they didn't support each other. I think now it's a very good, beautiful movement of people, women supporting each other very strongly and helping each other, grow.
Wow.
I don't know what else to say.
I would love to see if we could get Rocío. Is that how you pronounce it? Rocío?
Yes.
Rocío. Yeah, Rocío, if we could get her to do a presentation at our the Home Medicine Summit, which we host in the fall. That'd be great if she could share.
And where would that be?
It's an online summit. It's sort of like the Homegrown Food Summit. And we normally have like 35 or 40 presenters. So last fall we had, Rosemary Gladstar and Sage Apopum and Mary Blue and a lot of really super empowered herbalists sharing all kinds of things, you know, herbs for liver. Rosemary did one on 15 herbs for longevity, especially now that she's becoming an elder, right?
Yeah.
And, how to make an herbal vinegar. It was great. Yeah.
I think that would be beautiful to have. I think Rocio would do that. Right now she's stuck in Ecuador. She has all her family in London. And hopefully she can travel and all of this starts to clear up really soon where we can all start our normal lives, right, where we can do these things.
Well, the whole summit is an online event. So, you know, she doesn't have to travel anywhere and just create something to share with people. So that's what it's all about.
That would be great. I'll talk to her. Maybe we can connect after this and we can talk about it so that I can – talk with her. I usually talk to her every night, but her and Rosemary are very good friends. They've known each other for like 30 years. Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'll also ask Rosemary for a connection. But if the next time you talk to her, if you would, I'm trying to think how I can get in touch with you to follow up after the call because we don't have information on our, you know, we don't know necessarily. We just have people's names and whatever they put as their location here. So.
Mm-hmm.
Annie, you can email Nikki at happiness@thegrownetwork.com.
Hold on, let me write that down.
Okay. And Nikki is on this call, so she'll be expecting that to come in.
And Nikki, and what's the email again?
happiness@thegrownetwork.com.
Y'all be nice when you talk to Nikki.
What is your name again? The lady that's in Puerto Rico?
Marjorie Wildcraft.
Marjorie.
And I also know Rosemary pretty well too, so.
So I'll talk to Rocio tonight because we talk every day because I'm actually updating her website and getting some things going. We're going to be making a new logo, which is really beautiful, very simple, and putting up different workshops and things that are going to be happening possibly maybe this year. But if she decides that she would want to be part of the Grow Network or that online workshop that you guys are going to have. I mean, I would be more than happy to put it on her website.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Lee, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. You've had your hand up for a while. Let's see if you got your echo fixed. How are you, Lee?
Hey, I'm coming in on just the phone. I turned everything else off. Does it sound okay?
Yeah,
it sounds great.
Okay, good. Hey, Marge, I didn't know if I was an honor member or not, and I wasn't getting some of the message, and I connected with Nikki, and she's a great gal. She does good things, so tell her that. Tell her
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Now I want to let everybody know, Lee is the only one that I ever let call me Marge. Anybody else? We see that computer screen and slap you if you do anything. But
Lee's
got a
few
years. I let him get away with it.
Yeah, Lee.
Hey, Lee. I just told Nikki. I says, "Well, I should be an honorary member, but if not, you just tell Marge that I got her back. You know, and I want you to know it." And for some of the people that don't know me, and I have problems with this, I like the idea of that 81-year-old guy going with the 40-year-old girl.
You going to go ahead and tell people how old you are?
Huh?
You going to tell people how old you are?
Well, I am 81, going on 82 this year. But the lady's 82 out here is sitting in the rocking chair and saying, "I ain't going to go do that dumb stuff. I don't go flying no more, and I don't go skinny dipping, and I don't go fishing, and I don't go motorcycle riding." But I've been truly blessed. I think that it is right that a person pumps all these different junk into the body. It just makes them sick. I have not had a shot since I got out of the Navy almost 60 years ago. I take no vitamins, no minerals, no supplements, no baby aspirin. I don't do anything. And people, my daughter's a doctor, and she's, "Dad, you got to get this vaccination. I said, "Heidi, I haven't been sick for, I can't even remember last time I was sick." So she don't push that anymore. And either the doctors at the VA don't even, they just say, "Hey, we got this available. We know you're not going to take it." So blah, blah, blah. And I tell them I'll see them next year.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Lee, but thanks for calling in. It's always a pleasure.
Huh?
I said, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Lee.
Hey, babe. You know I got you back. You just keep me in mind. Something comes up. And I got the place. I got a 20-acre farm that's sitting vacant. It's got a 3-bedroom house. Got a garage, basement, everything on it. I'm just putting it back into, I got 4 acres of cover crop that I'm totally really beautiful black soil that I've been building, and I'm going to start building into the terraces. I did all the permaculture design, and the farm is all completed. I get all the terraces, solar well. So anyway, I'm going to get out of here because I'm taking up time. But anyway,
well,
I
Marie,
have
are you still looking for, I know a while back you were having you were looking for a family to come live and farm on that, on the vacant farm.
She's got some people.
Yeah, but that didn't quite work out, which, you know, that's the way that happened.
Yeah.
But, I think people don't realize how much work it is.
Well, you know, they was a beautiful family, and I loved them. They liked homeschool, and they just loved it down there. But they were not used to coping with work. And they only ended up putting 15 to 20 hours into a farmstead that definitely requires a lot more work than that. But I've decided I'm just going to rebuild the land, and someday somebody's going to come along that either wants to grow something really exotic. Now, one of the guys was saying something about mullein. That's going wild down there. I got stinging nettles. I got all kinds of wild edibles down there. And I eat mullein just for energy. And dandelions?
Yeah.
Just awesome. Gal, have a great time in Puerto Rico. I, when I was in the Navy, I was down St. Thomas, down in the Virgin Islands, not too far away, but keep in touch.
All right, thank you, Lee. Yeah.
Get me an acre or two and put my name on it, and I'll help support it.
Okay, awesome, Lee.
All right, dude. Take care.
Yeah, there's an opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities out there, and for people who have land or who have farms, or you know, a lot of our elders are like, we don't want to farm this anymore. But so there's a lot of opportunity out there. Hey, why don't we give a couple of shout outs, Super J?
Yeah.
Like, we got is it Sierra from Utah?
Patricia from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Uh huh. Barbara Moore, Houston, Texas.
Stephen from Copolis Crossing, Washington.
And Tristan from Cali.
Terry from Fargo, North Dakota. Thank you all.
Okay. Gigi from West Hills, Hilcosa.
You know, Marjorie, out of all the calls we've ever done for the Grow Network, this has been the most popular. There's more people on this call than we've ever seen.
We're hitting the limit. I see the thing hitting the limit, and then sometimes people will back off, and then we hit the limit again. So I think there actually would have been a lot more people if we'd had more capacity. But what was that thing that happened with Zoom? I didn't understand. Zoom, like, was everybody Zoomed, and then all of a sudden Zoom got trashed or something? People got upset with Zoom?
Oh, there were some privacy issues. They say they're trying to sort them out, but yeah, their member activity and their accounts have grown significantly since this whole thing started, and I don't think they were quite prepared for that.
You know, I think if you're going to do anything on the internet, you better forget about privacy. Like, having privacy on the internet is a total mess, right? Even if you think, yeah, right. There's Laura Jean from Ontario, Canada. Oh, yeah. And we have Cell Phone from Atlanta, Georgia.
Just to let everybody know, if you are on the web call, you can click the raise hand button and we can patch you in. If you're on your phone, you can press *2.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to look for some of the farther ones. There's Muskin from the UK.
Oh, we've got just eight. We've
got Muskin people.
That
just... they found out they could do that. All right.
I'm going to start
That's
with the
how that
number
works,
one.
Y'all?
Yeah. Well, okay, Tim. So I'm going to just start with the first person. You didn't input a name. Oh, you're calling in on your phone. So whoever's calling in from Crider's Corners, Pennsylvania. One moment. That was actually my fault. You are now unmuted.
Hi, I'm Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hey. I'm actually just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, thanks for joining. How are you today?
I am well. I am so excited to be able to be a part of this. Normally, I'm at work, so it's so nice to be able. I'm working from home, so I'm able to be a part of this.
Wonderful.
Well, lucky you. You get to those Mother Earth News Fairs come by there once a year, just outside of Pittsburgh.
I have been going to the Seven Spring one since the very first one. That is like my tribe. I love going to that.
I love doing that slide. I had to slide down the mountain where the ski slope is closed.
Yeah,
but they
the
have yeah.
Yeah, the Alpine slide. It is. It's a beautiful area. But I just got to say this. I am so thrilled to have, first of all, found the Grow Network. Marjorie, I can't tell you what a blessing this community of people has been to me personally. I feel like I am gleaning so much information from this, and I'm just so grateful for everybody that's a part of this. It's just been so wonderful to be able to interact in this community. I am. I'm extremely grateful for it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Me too.
Me too.
You know, I gotta say, you guys were talking about the whole thing with like our immune system and eating right and all that. I went through a little bit of a journey of that myself a couple years ago where I was just having some health issues, and I thought, I gotta do some things differently. So I got off of sugar and started really paying attention to what I was putting in my body, got off processed foods, and my doctor was telling me that I was looking at a diabetic, that I was looking at diabetes, and it was kind of staring me down at the face, and she actually diagnosed me as diabetic. And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, not on my watch. I said, give me a couple months. Just give me a couple months to get myself in order. And then let's revisit this. Let's do some blood work. Let's check and see where I'm at. So I just completely got off of the sugar, completely got off the processed foods, whole one food ingredient kind of diet, plant-based, and I still ate meat, but just really making my choices wiser. And then I went back to my doctor, and this has been a couple-year journey now, and she said, Denise, honestly, you have knocked this out of the park. She said, every single blood test for everything, from cholesterol to everything, is just perfect.
Wow.
Absolutely perfect. And it's been that way a couple years now. And I've been wearing glasses. I'm in my 50s now. I was wearing glasses since I was in third grade. And my eye doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but your vision's changed. And I said, okay. And he said, it's actually improved. And I said, really? And he said, Denise, whatever you're doing, your body's responding. Don't stop. So, and I just walk my dog. I mean, that, you know, that's what I do. I walk my dog, and I started just really paying attention to what I was eating. And I've lost 130 pounds, in the healthiest place I've ever been in my life. And my body's really responded to whole one food ingredients. It's just amazing. Diet really, it's just never too late to change a course to your direction as long as there's breath in your lungs and a beat in your heart. I really believe that.
I can hear the health coming out through your voice. You sound so healthy and
me
vibrant.
Too, and happy.
Yes.
I feel strong. I feel internally, I feel strong. And it's nice because I'm able to share the journey with people that are around me and like, what are you doing? And I'm saying, listen, I'm telling you, your body will respond if you would just give it a chance to just try to get away from all the processed foods. The chemicals are killing us. And I didn't realize it to the magnitude that it was until I started on this journey myself. But boy, I tell you what, if you could just start that journey, just start one step at a time, and your body will respond to it, and you will just feel in such a better place when it's all said and done.
That's so awesome to me. Yeah.
I'm gonna unmute somebody from New York. Since there's two people with their hands up for New York, I'm gonna unmute the area code 917. How are you?
Yes. Hello.
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 Yes, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm just kind of new to listening to all the information. I live out in Brooklyn, New York, and a lot of the things you mentioned, I heard someone talk about using the lane and making healthier choices. I tried to implement that in my with myself and my family. So it's great to be on and just, absorbing all the info.
Well,
thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to unmute. Let's see. Amy. How are you, Amy? Okay. Maybe we don't have Amy.
Amy, you're unmuted if you want to say hi.
She stepped away from her computer.
Okay, let's try Canoga Park. You're on the air.
This is 818 cell phone from Canoga Park.
Canoga Park.
Is it? Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you.
Okay,
yeah.
This is I'm in Calabasas, California.
But okay.
I'm also into all this, and I want to continue my education and be part of a larger group and making a difference in the world. I'm also a health coach. I'm into health products, air, water, and nutrition. And I like bringing this into people's homes and making a difference. So I'd like to learn more about your herbology, about natural medicine. And, so I'd like to continue, and I love what I'm hearing today. So thank you for putting it out there.
Yeah,
awesome.
I think, we'll do this again, and we'll just have a focus of, if you've got a really positive story to share, maybe just do that as a way to just keep ourselves inspired and upbeat. And, Denise's story was really powerful. That was great.
Yeah, I think I missed Denise. I think I came in later. But I love the story about the girl who's going to put together groups with Puerto Rico and Ecuador. I love all this. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to...
How do I get in touch with more information?
Well, the Grow Network... Just our newsletters always got stuff going on. And then our forums, we have a lot of really experienced people who are in the forums. And you mentioned herbs. If you go to makeyourownmedicine.com, we have a free video training there that you might really enjoy. So
I'll try that.
We got so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it.
I love this.
Well, we the children today and the school systems really need this to train the young people.
Sure do. Yeah.
Okay. Writers, Pennsylvania. There we go. That was crazy.
There you go. You got it. Yeah, I was like, what? Where's that coming from?
Let's try Carlisle, Pennsylvania. You're unmuted.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello? Am I on?
Yeah.
You are. Can you hear?
Okay. I wasn't sure it was me because I don't actually live in Carlisle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The, you know what? The phone, I think, just picked
it's,
up.
It's probably the closest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the closest.
That's
yeah.
all I have to go on, though. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. My name's Mary. I'm on the forum, under, Beloved and Wamba. Is my name
oh,
on the forum.
Okay.
Oh,
well, welcome to the call.
So, anyways, nice to be on here. Thanks. And I've already forgotten what I was going to say, but I think it'll come back to me next. Oh, I'm terrible with phone calls. I was just going to say one thing that came to me, and I haven't thought this through and all that, but it was just a thought. When I don't remember who was, they were talking about raising herbs, and Marjorie was saying how much of herbs are imported, and that's got a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, herbs getting radiated and all that stuff, not to mention just supply mm-hmm. and demand. And it was just a thought. I don't know if there'd be a... I know some, like, gardening websites, they have seed exchanges where different members trade seeds, and there's no money pass. It's just, I have extra seeds. You want to swap with me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know how legality lies, but I wonder if it'd be possible of doing herb exchanges where it's just, you know, I have excess of this herb. I grew it. I don't actually need it. Could
oh.
I trade somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Like, example, I know I didn't actually save it, but I grew a ton of clary sage last year just because I had extra seed and I wanted to see if it would germinate. Sure enough, it did. I had all this clary sage. None of my friends needed it. I didn't need it. It just kind of went to waste. I'm not went to waste. It went back into the ground where it came from. But, and I just kept thinking, man, there's got to be someone out there who needs some clary sage.
We have a spot for that.
And,
in the forums. It's perfect.
You know, that's a really, really good idea. Yeah, we do have an area in the forums where that could be easily happening.
Mm-hmm. We have a buy-sell barter category in the forums.
You know, I saw that, and that even occurred to me, though, that you could do that, could you? There. Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
That's what it was made for, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, Mary, that's awesome. Post that up in the forums, and then, or do you still have any?
No, I don't now, no, but I mean, I will this coming year, but.
Okay.
And
well,
if
anybody else on the call has excess, then if you post them in the forums, and I'll have Maren put it out in the newsletter and start highlighting that's something that's available as a place to, you know, share or give away items.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when I say lots, I mean like six plants. I don't mean like I had an acre of sage or something, but I did enough that people could have, potentially I could have been swapping or whatever.
Right.
You know, a couple of ounces or an ounce or something can be plenty for an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And posted on that is going to be less than a dollar or so. So, yeah.
Great idea.
Cool.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute.
I've,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just one more thing. I don't know, is there a place where you could submit ideas for the upcoming summits? I mean, I know that the food summit's already set in place, but like the medicine summit in the fall.
Yes. In fact, we're just tightening up our process around that, and we will be announcing in the newsletter that we're looking for presenters. But do you have any topics right off the top of your head that you're interested in, or is
yes.
it a presenter that?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell us now, because we're getting ready to start asking a call for presenters, so I'd love to hear it.
I don't have a presenter in mind. I do have a topic.
Okay.
I guess mainly women's hormonal balance issues. Now, I know you've done that before from like the menopause perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking more like PCOS, endometriosis. There's been an explosion of information just the last couple of years. I mean, when I first looked into about 10 years ago, like, you go put on WebMD, which I realize is a very conventional source, but you look at WebMD and it told you almost nothing. Now there's a lot of info. So much more out there, but it's a lot of information overload. But there's less from a natural point of view, and it's extremely contradictory. And I mainly been doing it I have probal and endometriosis, and I've been mainly working it from the food angle, and it's helped. I'd like to look into the herb angle, but again, I start looking up stuff, and it's like, this herb is estrogenic. so don't take it. No, this herb, and then they'll tell you the opposite. Oh, you need that because that'll block your estrogen receptors. A third site says, no, because that'll lower your progesterone.
Yeah.
A presentation couldn't clear that all up, but I would love to hear it from that perspective. So
I will look for a presenter on that. And in the interim, if you want some immediate help, Susan Weed is like really the herbalist for women's issues. And Susan can be, she's definitely a crone, so she can be a little bit difficult sometimes, but she definitely knows her stuff. And she's really, really good with, all sorts of women's issues. So that's almost her specialty. Just type in Susan Weed, S-U-S-U-N, Susan Weed.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Lori also comes to mind too.
I didn't check herself on that, but.
Oh yeah, Lori Rose.
Lori seems like she'd be good with that too.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't hear what last thing you said.
Lori Rose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dr. Lori Rose. She's mm-hmm. a presenter. Mm-hmm. Very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah, I've read a couple articles in her own, by the way, I think. I'll have to look a little more into that, though. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Awesome.
Let's see. We've got somebody from Norfolk, Virginia, area code 757. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
Hi. I'm Penny.
I'm sorry, did you say Penny?
Yeah, Penny. T-A-N-Y.
How are you? Oh, how are you?
I'm fine. I really don't know what I enjoy listening to everybody and all of their ideas. And Marjorie, I like the way that you're the one that has the rabbits that you like are like free ranging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I raise show rabbits, and so I'm in the process of putting together a free range pen for the ones that I'm not currently showing and like breeding, so they can just be like free. I was very much impressed with your setup. Because now that I've been like in the last seven months ago, I bought a farm property and in the process of setting up a garden and trees and bushes and getting all of my animals all situated. So, that I remember I saved your talk from last year from the, Homesteaders of America, I think it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
About when you were explaining about all your rabbits and how you set them up and how you have the bucks and the does together and the babies just get born in there.
Yeah, yeah. Colony rabbits. We still have that presentation up at colonyrabbits.com.
I saved that presentation so I could as I put it together. I could return to that and listen to it again.
Nice, thank you, Tanny. Yeah.
And another outlet that I get information from is the Abundant Permaculture, Justin Rhodes.
Oh yeah, I got a call, mm-hmm. Justin.
You know Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get I belong to I'm part of his web group, his member group.
Mhm.
And he's another one that also has helped a lot. And with referring to the listening to the lady that she had lots of when you have lots of herbs and you don't know what to do with them, I feed them to my chickens.
Oh yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of herbs, like there's oregano, basil, thyme. Those are a few of them that help them with they have like antibiotic properties.
Yep.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
And I give them to them fresh and dry both.
Nice. Yeah. You know, I did an interview with Dr. Patrick Jones a while ago, the herbal veterinarian, and he was like, pretty much everything that works for humans on herbs is going to be pretty similar for animals. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
pretty close correlation. So, yeah.
And back to your the wildcrafting, I went on my property now that I have, we have an extreme amount of purple dead nettles.
Ooh, lucky
all
you.
Of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the whole property. So my son and I, we went out and we got a whole bunch of it, and we made some pesto out of it. And I shared with my neighbor. She like, what? She like, where did you get this? I mean, she thought it was like basil or an herb, you know. And I said, no, it's what you got growing in your ground right there. Just pick it and process it and eat it.
Oh, Sharon, what's your neighbor's is what it's all about?
Exactly. They didn't even know that it was edible. And it's like an abundance. I could probably dry it and keep tons of it. There's so much. Along with dandelions, but the dandelions are another thing that people usually know about.
Yeah. Cool, Tammy. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute. I don't know the location or name, but if your area code is 720, you are now unmuted. Hi, we can hear you. What's your name?
Are you talking to me?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
You don't have any information? Oh, okay. Never mind. My name is Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Welcome to the call.
Yeah, 720. It's a Colorado address. I live near Boulder, Colorado in the mountains up here. Actually, no, I was just listening in. I've been curious about the Grove Network for quite a long time. And so getting to know what you guys are doing and saying and thinking is really, really important to me. So that's part of the reason why I decided to listen in on this session.
Nice.
Oh, you guys make us so happy.
So do you get a sales pitch for me?
No.
No,
no we don't. We just
We're
wanted
not
to call
anything.
Have a chat with our community, yeah.
I'm thinking that when we do this call again, we should just say, hey, we'll give everybody like 30 seconds to a minute, and you can just either share something. Like a story or an inspirational story or a win you've had or if you've got some resources you want to share or give away.
Mm-hmm.
I had signed up
for the blog and I just haven't had a lot of time because I can't commit that much time to writing articles and responding to stuff. But I am a landscape contractor out here. High elevation.
Ooh.
Stonework, just all kinds of different things I've done throughout my career, and a lot of things I find that people do not know much about anything. I just kind of clicked on the site and went to the academy, and I think as soon as this call's done, I'm going to start looking at the nutrient-rich soils or dense soils.
That's a great
I'm going to look that over a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to look at that a little bit. But I just wanted to basically, we can cut this short because I just was kind of wanting to listen in and understand what you guys did a little bit more, and I'm enjoying it.
Wow, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So we should probably move on because other people are probably curious to basically see what this is all about.
Yeah, we'll move on to the next one. Thank you so much. All right, so next we've got Hill Sharon from Kirkwood. How are you doing? Sharon?
Maybe it's Sharon Hill. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's Sharon Hill. Yeah.
Hey, Sharon. Are you out there?
Hi, I am. I'm so sorry. I'm too good at work.
Oh, no worries.
And this is my first time, and I am certainly enjoying the dialogue and many of the resources that I can check out as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a good weekend.
Thank you. You all too.
Mm-hmm. Next Friday.
Okay, we've got Friders.
Doesn't really mean much anymore.
Kreider's Corners, Pennsylvania, you are now on the call.
Is that the one that we spoke? Did we speak to her earlier?
Oh, that does seem familiar. You know, yeah. I sent out a thing to the.
Are you asking for Crider's Corner? That's Denise. That's I shared earlier.
Oh, hi. Okay. Denise. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to move.
Yeah.
I got to tell everybody on the call. I sent out a notice to all the, you know, the Grow Network staff, and I said, you know, be sure that at 9 p.m. you change from your daytime pajamas to your nighttime pajamas.
You know what? If only that were true. If only I had a distinction between what I wear to bed and what.
I'm right there with you, Ruth. It's sad.
Yeah.
Gina, how are
from
you
Nevada.
From Nevada?
Jane. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I've been following you for some time, and actually I'm a membership of the Grow Network. I've never called in, and actually this is the first time I've been able to actually get on in time because of what's going on, so I can listen.
Nice.
Well, welcome.
Just a while ago, a while back, there was somebody on there with her testimony, and it just made me think about, I've been working in other physical things like that of the healing nature for ever, actually. But I've never really done it as a business. My grandmother was a medicine woman, so healing has been in my family for many, many generations. And I was diagnosed 24 years ago with scleroderma. It's a very bad thing, they say, like MS, lupus, those kind of things. And I was told at that time I had 4 years to live. I'd been married to my husband for 22 years. He never knew knowing that. And thankfully, we didn't listen to the doctor.
Right.
And then 13, no, that was, anyway, over just over 13, 15 years ago, we were, of course, married at that time. And we were given that diagnosis again, that I have actually less than 6 months that time. Well, now, due to herbs, I still really believe eating healthy and my infrared sauna, I am now been for 1.5 years completely free of any symptoms.
That's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
My doctor, he said, I would love to tell you you're cured, but I can't legally do that, so I'm going to tell you you are in 100% remission.
Wow.
Congratulations, Gina.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get it.
Thank you. So it just is like, stick to it. Don't give up. I almost did, because when I finally did the max of everything I could physically withstand and do was about 2 years ago, it came back. And I was going fast. And I could see what had happened like 14 years ago, starting all over again. And I almost did give in. It was hard for me not to cry. But I didn't. I just sat down and I said, we're not going to do that. We didn't give in the other times. And look back of other things that's happened to you in your life that you survived. So don't fight it, because you've lived with it 24 years, but don't give in. And I went back on the paleo thing, or not paleo, vegetarian, and started doing more of the herbal things. And within 6 months, my blood test came back clear.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
Thank you so much
for calling in, Gina. That is, that's an incredible testimonial. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, we've got Jessica N. from Oklahoma. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so good to talk to you. I just wanted to raise my hand and thank the Grow Network for your sharing and your education. I'm in Edmond, Oklahoma, so I noticed y'all are in Texas. We have that roller coaster weather. And I'm really looking forward to the forum you're having. I attended the last one, and I'm currently in the honors lab, and it's so awesome. I was wondering what your favorite topic is to talk about, Marjorie.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
A lot of topics. You know, growing food, I really have always been fascinated with the miracle of plants and, you know, an animal, and just that you can eat things. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love herbalism and the power of healing. But yeah, those are my favorite topics. I love doing experiments. In fact, I'm really excited about an experiment we're going to do this spring where, if you followed the Adventures in Gardening series that we did last year with Lynn Gillespie and I, and we're going to rerun that again this year, Lynn has a really great raised bed system, but toward the end of the season, we were really getting overrun with squash bugs and with aphids.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah. And Lynn uses, what is it called? Captain Jack, or it's basically a spinosad product. And I was like, you know, Lynn, that's really cool. And it's organic and it works. We got a great yield. I said, Lynn, there's this lady named Dana Boggs who will do soil test analysis. And she says, if you balance your soil perfectly, you will not have any insects. And, we had Jana actually present at, a homegrown food summit. I think it was last year in 2019. And the problem with Jana's stuff is it's like really expensive. It's like $900 or $1,000. And I said, but you know what? The Grow Network could do that. And I'm going to build two identical garden beds with identical soil. And we're going to have the Lynn Gillespie method in one. And then we're going to grow using Jana's system in the other one. And I'm just so stoked to see how that works, right? You know, like if we get the minerals perfectly balanced, will it work? And if it does, let's see and figure out how we can get with maybe economy scale or whatever, how could we get that kind of testing down to a price point that your average gardener could afford? So anyway, you got me started.
That's you got so me started. Cool. I love that you're experimenting. That's one of the most fun things about being a gardener is experiencing. And I hope you do a video about the two different beds. I really love learning about composting, and gardening is an experience. Will this plant work? Will that one? So I love all you're doing, and I'm really happy that you're going to have Dr. Patrick Jones back. He was one of my favorite presenters last year.
He's amazing.
He is so funny.
He's so fun, and yeah, he's funny and so knowledgeable. Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting me talk. I'm so happy. It just made my day, and I got the biggest smile here in Oklahoma just being together with other gardeners. It's so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Yeah, awesome. Well, we were planning on going for 2 hours. So I guess we got another 25 minutes. If you want to raise your hand, we can get more people on here. Boy, we got a lot of anonymouses. They've all turned anonymous.
Tell them.
But how do they raise their hand, Jamison?
If you want to raise your hand, if you're on the web call, just click the raise hand button. If you're joining us via phone call, just press *2 and we can patch you in.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Oh, we got some. Good.
Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi there. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm hogging the lines here with this second call, but I wanted to ask you, I thought about something that I was going to ask and forgot. One of the problems with traumatic brain injury, and I'm part of the lucky group, 80% of people with traumatic brain injury end up with a sleep problem where they sleep between 18 and 23 hours a day. And they wake up starving to death and they just eat, and they gain a lot of weight. I'm of the other end where I can't sleep and I have no taste or smell or hunger. And so eating is everything I eat has to have a nutritional value. Otherwise, why bother? And part of my face, because it was crushed, they fixed it with titanium, but I have no feeling. So eating is not a pleasant experience. Anyway, all of that to say, I've tried all sorts of natural herbs for sleep and combinations, and oh my gosh, everything seems to work for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and then it stops. And then I'm back to 1 or 2 hours of sleep. And without mm-hmm. sleep, my body just, I can't function. I turn back into the baby brain. And right now I'm taking a time release 2 milligrams of melatonin, and even that doesn't help all the time. So do you guys have any like resources or suggestions of places, like a site where I could go, or somebody that's really knowledgeable?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, Joanne, I'll tell you what, we had a presentation at the 2019 Home Medicine Summit all about how to sleep. And it was a really extensive presentation. I can't remember the herbalist or the natural healer that did it. But, if you talk to, Nikki, who is at happiness@thegrownetwork.com, and, tell her Marjorie said to give you access to the presentation on sleep from 2019.
Okay.
And she will get that for you. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
I'll send Nikki a note too.
Okay.
On sleep. Okay. And it's happiness at the Grow Net. Okay. It's your network. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. My brain thanks you. My heart thanks you. My spirit thanks you.
Well, thank you, Joanne.
I put her email in the chat box, if you can see that.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Okay. And I pinged her and let her know you'd be reaching out. So.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've got somebody from Evanston, Illinois.
That's my neck of the woods.
Hey, how are you?
I'm from Evanston. Do you have more than one?
That's you.
Yeah. I was on the computer before. I was the Amy that you called, and I was saying hello.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. The phone seems to work better than the computer was for some reason. Mm-hmm. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
I got in kind of late, so I haven't heard all the topics that you've talked about.
Well, luckily we are recording this, and for anybody who came in late or wasn't able to be on the call, they can listen to it later.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Well, I guess people are kind of talking about themselves. I don't have the credentials that probably a lot of other people have in your area, but I, partly because I live like a couple blocks away from Chicago, it's a very urban area,
mm-hmm.
so we quite have the ability to do things that you do. But with everything that's happening, I have a new resolve to do better about growing food in my backyard this summer.
Yay!
We'll see if it actually happens, because I have a lot of other things that are pulling me away from that. But
oh my gosh, I mean, we all have a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. It seems more
one thing, yeah.
Doesn't it seem more important than ever, though, for those of us who haven't, who are very interested but haven't actually done it? It seems like now is the time to keep moving.
Yeah. And, you know, we have the Homegrown Food Summit coming up in May, which is free. You know, there's 35 presentations all about different aspects and everything from, like, container gardening. Kevin Espiritu, I kind of got a little crush on Kevin. He's so cute, but I think he's gay, so, and awfully too young. But
I've heard a few of them in previous years, so hopefully maybe I'll be able to have more of them on and when I'm, because I'm still working every day.
Yeah.
Home,
but no, get started. Just do something small, even container gardening or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just start with the habit of like checking your plants every day and even just a 5-minute thing. And then it'll start to build and grow on you.
Well, I do have a yard, but I don't know. What do you think about raised beds versus not raised beds? What is for people in an urban area?
I have become a real big fan of make a raised bed and fill it with the best soil that you can afford.
Okay.
And, yeah, and then just like that is your really, really good soil, and you've got it in a raised bed. You got it kind of contained a little. I mean, you don't want it sealed at the bottom, but you know, in other words, like that's your good soil, right? And then you and it's astonishing. If you watch the Adventures in High Performance Gardening that I grew with Lynn last year, we had just two. I think they were 50 square foot beds. I still have a freezer full of vegetables that we from freezing, canning, drying. I mean, it's just unbelievable the production you can get out of a small space. So, but start small. Yeah, start small and just start doing something, even just a container.
And what is your opinion on, I don't know the formal name, the generic name, but like garden tower type of things?
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah, those are fun. I like those. And those are the ones that have the worm bin down the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I really like those. And then they got the now with the ball bearings, and they can rotate around. So you can change the sun on them. And, yeah, those are great little systems. Yeah.
And
put on a patio.
Where would you put those? Would you put them in lieu of the raised bed in a yard, or is that really meant more for someone who is very limited on space? Like, I don't know how you would put it on a deck and not ruin the deck with the watering and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you'd want to put a catch pan underneath of it to, you know, not mess with your deck. And that's not much. You know, you just have a pan down there. I actually had a garden and two towers. I put, because the towers are perfect for strawberries. And so I love the strawberries in that. So I did both, you know, and it, you know, of course, I love experimenting with everything. So.
And you can rotate it to catch the sun?
Well, you can rotate it around, and they've got them on ball bearings now. And that, so that way, you know, in a lot of patios, there's areas where it doesn't get any sun. So that way you can, you know, help compensate for that by rotating it a bit every day.
Okay.
So that way, yeah. So that way on the back side, you know, the back side can become the front side, right? And,
Yeah. That's great. Any other thoughts?
Just get started. Do something. You know, a garden tower is an awesome thing, but just get and start small.
Well, I've often done tomatoes and things like that kind of on the sides of the yard, but I've never actually dug up the grass and taken that big step, you know, to really turn it into a real garden instead of just along the edges. So I've done a little bit, but definitely have a lot to learn. Thank you very much for all the resources that you've put together.
Amy, if you've never been to our forums, join the forums and go start asking people questions in there. They're people have a lot of really good ideas.
Okay, thank you. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, also, somebody talked about Seven Springs before. I used to do mountain bike races there occasionally.
That's nice. It's beautiful there.
Big baby head rocks there. That's my memory of the place. It's gorgeous, but giant rocks that can knock you off your bike. But I just noticed that you guys were talking about it earlier, and I'm like, I've actually been there. Anyway, I'll let you go to your next person if you
thank you, Amy.
Need to get going. Thank you. I'll stay listening though.
Okay.
Okay, we've got Mr. David King from Abingdon, Virginia. How are you?
Abingdon.
Hello, yes, it's David. Can you hear me good?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it's my first time on this forum. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm 59 years old, been an organic gardener since, 8, 9 years old when my mom gave me a love of gardening. And, yeah, I was in raised beds. So, presently doing market gardening, trying to find outlets for the stuff since, you know, a bunch of my outlets have closed. Last year grew my first crop of organic hemp. I'm a solar consultant, so I've got different things going on in my life. Nothing boring for me around this time. I was wondering, how do I find that form that you mentioned where we can post for, like, buying, selling, bartering?
Yeah, if you go to thegrownetwork.com and you click on the forums, it'll take you to our forum area. And then if you click in the top where it says categories, and in those categories you'll see one called marketplace, and it says, you know, there's bartering and trading. You'll just go into that category, and you can post there.
Oh, great. Yeah, because in the discussion about horsetail, I had posted that, you know, I've got extra plants. Did not get any response, so just, you know, still got horsetail plants that I'd love to share.
Oh, nice. Are those Equisetum hymali, David?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh. Okay. Did you post them up in the forums, like in the
buy sell barter?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I'm fairly new to this, so I just put it in the forum where people were talking about horsetail and its uses.
Okay, in that discussion thread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the discussion thread. Yeah, yeah. You know, Jimerson, we got to add a free component to it, because buy, sell, and barter. We got to add free.
No, I was thinking the same thing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Giveaways.
Yeah.
Free to good home.
You know what? Maybe we should find David's thread and move it over to the free, and then we'll have Maren posted in the newsletter.
Yeah, I don't think we can turn his comment into its own discussion.
No.
I think it was piggybacked on a general discussion about the plant.
I think I can find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
if you have any questions, just contact Nikki over at happiness@thegrownetwork.com, and she can help you get that sorted.
And be nice to Nikki. That's the rule.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you
get that over into the free area, we'll announce it in the newsletter, and you'll get lots of people who are saying, hey, I'd love to get it. So.
Yeah. Post a picture as well if you can.
Yeah. I got to get better at taking and posting pictures.
Well, thank you very much, David.
So do I.
Get a millennial to help you with that.
You're right. Yep. Mm-hmm. I appreciate this, sir. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
Okay, we've got Roberta from Everett, Washington. Roberta, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're
coming good.
Here.
I've been really enjoying this call. I even rejected a call from my sister. We usually take a walk call. She lives in Ohio.
Tell her to join. Tell her to join the
And
call.
I said, oh, I'm just so, this is just so wonderful to connect with other like souls. It's just beautiful.
We're so glad to have
I
you.
I really live in a town called Snohomish. It's in a valley in Washington. It's called Sky Valley. And then the river comes down from the mountains. I'm like about an hour and a half from the mountains.
Oh, I bet that's beautiful.
From the Cascades. So anyway, I'm 77. I'm a retired nurse, basically working in preventive health for over 20 years before I retired. And, I don't know. I'm just like, this is, it's just wonderful. My mom, her grandmother lived on a farm, and, she was from Ireland. And, so I just sort of have that background, and we never went to the doctor. I mean, I think my mom, what I noticed is in both of my families, my paternal great-grandparents also, they both had farms. They were from Genoa. And a lot of it got lost. And I realized that probably in the 80s with my second child. But I've always been pulled to herbs, and my mom basically would heal us with a cold just with lemons and honey. And
I'll
she gave us cod liver oil in the winter, but we did. We never got sick. And, she didn't have a garden. That was lost with, her mom did. She had fruit trees and she mainly grew flowers. From what I remember. And on my other side, my grandmother just got, after the Depression, she lost her husband in the flu epidemic then in the 1918, that epidemic. And so she had to go to work. But I don't know, I feel really connected to my ancestors, you know, that they have always communicated with me. And I had an aunt, and I can remember she'd take us out in the forest, and, you know, this is in Massachusetts, and she'd show me, like, sassafras and have me taste the root. And, you know, it was like, I don't know, there was something. And I had a teacher in the sixth grade. She was a visiting teacher, and she came in and took us out in the field and showed us certain plants that we could eat, like peppergrass. And I can remember it would just always, like, open up something inside of me, like a portal, And then, so anyway, my middle son, I'm natural birth, and I found a book, and it talked about drinking nettle tea and raspberry leaf tea during pregnancy, and I talked to my midwife about it, and she said, oh, no, that would be fine. And it was like, I do believe in the spirits and the plants, and that they talk to us.
Yeah.
And they open up their world to us. And really, you know, I can just go back. As a matter of fact, I'm listening to this. I said, I really need to write this all down.
You know, Roberta, you really do, actually, and I would love to see you posting this in the forums for all of us to learn from you and to share these memories, and that would be a really
thank
great
you.
Yeah,
yeah, because
be
now where I live, I forage nettles. I go out into the woods. I've gone to some herbal classes, and I forage nettles, and I've worked with dandelion and made oils and tinctures and biscuits with dandelion and nettles, and but I've never, there's no one I ever share this with except
nice.
I do have.
Well, you know what?
A
we really need you in there sharing this. So that's a really great place. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I work with organic.
We really
vegetables.
Need you in there because we're about to be inundated with a whole bunch of people who don't know.
Okay. I know. And then saving seeds too. The same thing. You know, it's like I started just experimenting with saving seeds and growing vegetables over the winter in a hoop. And the main thing I'm feeling is like I don't have that many people to share with. And, you know, I'm getting older. It's a little hard for me now. I don't even have a rototiller, but I still plant, but it's not like it used to be. You know, I used to be able to go out there and run around in the yard. Last night I went out there and last night it was just like by when nighttime came, I had a headache, just exhausted. So it's like, things are changing. So, okay, the forum and just connecting with all of you would be good. What I'm really looking for is someone local that I'm on like an acre of land that, you know, and it's all organic that, I could, you know, share that with someone. And
you know what? You could also share that in the forums. Actually, Lisa was on earlier. We've helped him find a family. It didn't work out after a while, but I heard that. Yeah.
And I can relate. I'm very careful.
We all know. We all know about that. Yeah, but we also, Jerome Ofentowski up in Colorado, we helped him find some people, and we put it in the forums and said, hey, this is available. And, Well, Roberta, we're going to try and get a couple of more calls in just before the top of the hour here. But, I'd love to see you in the forums.
Oh, no, I do have to share one health issue. As I got older in my preventive health job, it was public health, and I worked with low-income women. And it was really very taxing, and my blood pressure went up. And everyone in my family has high blood pressure. And I don't take any prescription medication. I haven't. I treated all my children homeopathically, all with natural remedies. And I go to Beth Steer. I found a free clinic, and I went there, and first they gave me hibiscus and said drink a lot of hibiscus tea. I was exercising, you know, just the things that you do. How can you? So anyway, I found this tincture with dandelion in it and, horsetail and, there's about 5 or 6 different herbal helpers. And I am just, this year, I've been on that tincture for over a year and my blood pressure's gone down.
Nice.
That's wonderful. I'm going to.
I mean, you know, I mean everyone, because everyone is, you know, everyone wants to put you on those little prescription medications.
Roberta, I'm going to go ahead and let someone else go ahead, but thank you so much and have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Okay, so we've got someone from Front Royal, Virginia, area code 540. How are you?
Hi, it's Sherry.
Oh, hi, Sherry.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I really like the idea of Marjorie, what you were talking about was rebalancing the soil and the squash bugs, which I simply detest. I'm concerned about my soil that I'm looking at using for this year's garden. And I have a salad garden that I have all fenced in with to keep the rabbits out. I have an upper garden that potatoes are going in, but I decided that I need to use one of my horse paddocks for a garden. And I'm concerned about using a lot of the old hay and manure that's kind of soaked with urine in filling into a section of the horse paddock. And I don't know where to go with that. If I should just try it, or am I going to end up ruining a whole bunch of vegetables that I want to plant there?
Well,
do you have any advice?
Yeah, are you the one feeding the horse, and are you cutting the hay, or are you buying the hay from somewhere else?
Well, we're buying the hay from somewhere else because we
yeah.
can't find an organic hay grower.
Well, the concern I have, and I've had this happen, is a lot of horse quality hay is horse quality because it doesn't have very many weeds in it. And it often doesn't have any weeds in it because they've sprayed that field with basically a broadleaf suppressant. And picloram, I think, is one of the names for it. And there's a couple of other names. And one of the consequences that doesn't break down, it takes a long time to break down in time, and it doesn't also break down. It passes through the intestinal tract of animals. And I've had the experience of applying hay or horse manure that I got, and they had been feeding these horses this hay that had the stuff that had been grown with that spray on it. And it, you know, with the first rain, that stuff got down into my garden and basically killed my garden. I mean, you'll see the leaves all twisting up and it's just bad. A really quick test that you can do for that is take either some of the hay or the manure or whatever it is, and put it in a 5-gallon bucket, and then put, you know, some nice water in there. And actually, maybe before that, is what you want to do is start a little flat of any kind of legume, like black-eyed peas or green beans or anything, and you want to get them up to where they've got a couple of true leaves. So, you know, beans and peas come up pretty quickly, so you can have that going in about a week, right? And then you want to get this 5-gallon bucket with the stuff you're testing, like the hay or the manure, and put it in a 5-gallon bucket with water and stir it 2 or 3 times a day just to make sure that it's not going to get stagnant. And then after 2 or 3 days, that water will have absorbed whatever's in that hay or that manure, and then water those legumes with it. And legumes are especially sensitive to those pesticides or herbicides, rather. They're not pesticides, herbicides. And if those legumes die, then you'll know that that's something that you should not be putting on anywhere that you want to try and grow food. And if the legumes do well and they, you know, they look healthy and they thrive, then that stuff is safe to use. So that's a really quick test to know if what you've got has been herbicided or not. And, you know, when I was in Texas, there was very, very little hay that was being produced organically without those chemicals, and certainly not horse quality hay. And cow hay, you know, cows apparently can eat anything. They'd have all kinds of weeds and whatever in it, you know, and you could probably get good hay with that. So that's my advice on that.
Doesn't this herbicide target broad leaves? I mean, if I used it for corn, which is a grass, do you think it would be okay?
That actually might work because grass is in the, you know, corn is a grass, right? It's a Poaceae family. And, and corn loves nitrogen. So, you know, that could work. Yeah.
Would there still be the risk of ingesting through the corn picking up that herbicide?
Yeah. Oh. I don't, yeah, that's a good question, Super J. I don't know. I know one thing that I'm starting to notice as we're starting to get more and more into this crisis is like some of my standards are lowering.
Me too.
And like, you know, I think it's really important to have food right now. And I'm not going to the, I haven't reached the level of eating GMO yet, but you know, I'm like, you know, right? So.
I like the no-dig method because I'm 70 and whatever is going to be easier for me is, it's, I'm all for it. But at this point, I'm thinking of just till it up and start over and, you know, get the more immediate results and then just build up and work on, the no-dig method afterwards.
I'm completely with you on that. You know, doing a first-time preparation will just save you so much work, especially if you've got the equipment to do that. Because, you know, yeah, you know, getting rid of those grasses and tilling it up for to prepare it for the first time, I'm not a purist anymore. I've dug too many weeds out, so I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Well, Sarah,
I really
gosh, I guess we got a couple more we're just not going to be able to get to today. But I think we should do this again next week. What do you think, Jimerson?
I love it. Yeah,
yeah,
great idea.
I think what we'll do is we'll focus on letting people know they've got a limit of like 60 seconds so we can get a lot of callers in and focus on something that you can offer, like a tip to share, a hello. You know, maybe just some resources you might know about, or if you have an inspiring story,
or
if you have some seeds or herbs, yeah. I think questions are going to be a lot better in the forums.
Okay.
Yeah, like I think we should really just try to keep it upbeat and positive and really giving and having it a more of a giving focus, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can outline that when we send out the email about it and when I post an announcement about it in the forums.
Right.
I'll let people know.
And we're going to have to get bigger capacity because I noticed we bumped up against our limit more than a few times.
Indeed, yeah. I'm already on that one.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra.
Our plan has changed.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let me say thank you to everybody. I mean, I don't know how many of you anonymouses that are out there. Mary Metcalf, Earl, Laura Jean, Bentley Health, and that might have been Sharon that we just talked to, Sheila, Gina, Clara, Muskin, Cassandra, Lori, Daniel, Marilyn, Jill, Donna, Joanne, I think we talked to John earlier, Sherry,
Barry, Natalie,
yeah, Janice, yeah.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the call, and yeah, we'll do this next week. Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all have a great weekend, and thank you all for coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
We'll talk to you next week.
It's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.